Welcome back to Alphabet Scoop. This is episode 24, and today we have a relatively special episode, not to downplay Kyle's specialness, but we have Kyle Bradshaw on today. He is our resident fuchsia fanatic, so to speak. I guess that's his title that he's kind of given himself. But the last couple of weeks, he's been focusing on Pixelbooks or Chromium digging. And then we also have Abner Lee back on as usual. What's up, guys?
Woohoo!
Fun to have more than two people on.
Yeah, is this the first time? Oh no, we had Francisco Franco on.
Yes.
That one time for like the first half of the episode.
You had Seth at I/O, didn't you?
Yeah, that's right. We did, but that was all on one camera, so. Wow. A little bit different, but yeah. And I think we'll probably be doing the same thing, by the way, when we for the 10-9 event, we'll probably have Abner and me and Seth on again, because we will all be in New York at that event, and we're super excited, I think. Not that there's much left to find a space. Oh, for doing the podcast? Well, we do have this Airbnb that we just booked.
Oh man.
So we have a two bedroom place for a couple nights. So we're a little bit spoiled on that front. But yeah, we don't really know. I should say we do know pretty much everything that Google is going to announce. So there's not really that many mysteries left. One thing I guess that is a little bit of a mystery, or at least more so than the Pixel stuff, is the Pixelbook stuff. And so I guess we should dive into that first. Kyle, you've been digging into three different prototype code names that people at Chrome Unboxed and XDA, people have been spotting these code names for a long time. One of them, Meowth, I tweeted about like over a year ago. So these are not necessarily new code names, but as time has gone by, we've started to realize that all of them seem to very, very likely be Google first party hardware. And so I guess you've been kind of, you know, leading up the charge of like putting all the pieces together and figuring out exactly what we might expect at the event next month. So why don't you give us a little bit of an overview of the three devices and then maybe start diving into the first one that you'd like to first take a look at. I guess Nocturne is probably the first one we should look at.
Yeah, Nocturne was really like the odd one out. Nocturne was a detachable, which is nothing special now thanks to HP, but it had a lot of features that just kind of said, this is probably made by Google. Like, I don't think there's any Chromebook other than the Pixel line that doesn't have an SD card slot. Like that's just a signature feature of made by Google.
A signature non-feature.
Yeah, a signature lack. I don't know why they are so intent on it other than just to keep the smooth profile. But that was one of like the telltales was just, you know, this looks an awful lot like a made by Google device, but it's so quick, so sudden, so many features being added to it that something was kind of up. Go ahead.
There's lots of different, I guess, lots of different things that we can point at to say, like, that's likely to be a Pixelbook. You know, we've got like a screen resolution that perfectly matches last year. There's things with the keyboard, you know, like the locations of the keys. And there's lots of little things that have kind of like pointed in that direction. And then another thing was we can get into this in a little bit, but the connection to its sibling Meowth, and then the fact that we knew that Meowth for a fact was a Google board, you know, it kind of tipped us off even more that Nocturne was probably a Google board as well, considering they were so similar. So I guess we talked a little bit about Nocturne already last week, but like what am I missing anything? What else do we know of that like is like obviously like surefire, like this is a Google product?
Honestly, the connection I was loose to me. I was like, you know, this probably is, because there's some pieces of evidence that aren't valid at all. Like saying, oh, the keyboard has Assistant. That's not good enough, because there's a couple more products coming soon that will have Assistant right on the keyboard. But
right.
What's
yeah, there's lots of yeah, go ahead.
No. What sold it in my mind today was what sold it in my mind was this Meowth. Because we knew from that from your source that Meowth was definitely going to be a Google product, that was a Google code name that for an in-development product. But to see that, oh, it got scrapped because of Intel, to me that really sells it as this is going to be, you know, or this Nocturne is for sure a Google product.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, and I guess, like, I mean, this is all speculation. We don't really know for sure. I guess also last year we didn't know for sure that Eve was a Google product either. So it's, you know, it's like little pieces are coming out, but so far there's not been a single, you know, like sometimes you can see very clear evidence, like the manufacturer of a certain piece of the product or whatever in Chromium, you can see like, this is definitely not, you know, it's easy to point at things, be like, that's probably not Google because of, you know, X or Y reason. And so far at least, Nocturne, and then the other one, Atlas, is the other board that's probably been talked about a lot longer than Nocturne has. There's nothing really that would say this is clearly not a Google product. And then I guess the other thing is, we do know, I mean, from other sources external from the Chromium repo, is like we know that Google is planning a successor to the Pixelbook. I think Evan Blass, right, Abner,
yes,
had a report that said, or he tweeted, you know, he heard that. He heard about some of Google's upcoming products, and one of them that he was pretty confident about. Not to mention the fact that he was also confident about the Pixel Watch, which Google came out and debunked. But he was pretty confident that they're doing a second Pixelbook. And so I think people picked up on Atlas, considering all the similarities that it had with the first Pixelbook. And that was kind of the first one that people picked up on and said, this is probably the Pixelbook 2.
And of course, you've heard some stuff about the Pixel Book 2, which we've previously shared on the podcast, various tidbits, a list of tidbits about features, changes, hardware even.
Yeah, I mean, one of the big things that's been constant, you know, is like less bezels on the screen, I think. That's one thing.
Yeah.
And I mean, that would make sense if they're doing like, if Atlas is the so-called like real
successor.
The true successor, then having a 4K display and smaller bezels would certainly make it you know, pretty attractive device, especially when you compare it to other devices that have launched recently, like the 4K Yoga Book.
Yes, undeniably. And there's a Microsoft Surface event a week before the Made by Google event. But on the idea of this direct successor, what I've always found interesting with Atlas is the idea that 1 year later, Google's ready to do another Pixelbook hardware. It's a mark shift away from how the first Chromebook Pixel and the second Chromebook Pixel in 2013 and 2015 respectively waited 2 years. But now for some reason, Google is ramping up to a yearly cycle on devices that I think it's pretty safe to say aren't huge market sellers.
Yeah, one interesting thing with that is, I don't have any confirmation on this, but I've talked about this on the podcast before, but the first Pixelbook felt a year behind to me. It felt like the first Pixelbook maybe at some point had been hoped to launch alongside the first Pixel phone a year earlier. And you can see that you can see that in the design of the device. It looks like Google's 2016 kind of language-ish. You know, I mean, it's not, there's no clear distinctions between the differences. But, you know, for instance, on the back of the Pixelbook, that glass window is like a solid like 1/3. You have it on. Yeah, we can show it just show it up on Abner. So like that top glass window is a solid 1/3, and it looks very, very similar to both have one. But it looks really similar to the top solid like 1/3 on the first Pixel phone. And on top of that, you know, there are some things about the hardware that I was like, it feels a little bit behind. Like, you know, talking about the bezels, for instance, you know, opening up that Pixelbook for the first time last year at the Pixel 2 event, it felt like this feels like a year old laptop. The bezels are large. It doesn't, you know, it doesn't look as modern as Apple's latest laptops, for instance, mm-hmm. which are obviously Google's trying to go after that premium $1,000 and up market. And so for a variety of, you know, minor reasons, it felt a little bit behind. So maybe, you know, the other thing is we don't really know that Google's planning to launch the successor this year, or, you know, there's basically two. There's Nocturne and Atlas, which are still like alive. Meowth is dead, and we can talk about that in a minute. But well, as far as we know, and Nocturne seems to be kind of not a direct successor, but more of a convertible.
Yeah.
And then whereas Atlas, as far as we know, seems explicitly not to be a convertible and have an attached keyboard, just like the original Pixelbook for a variety of reasons. So there's two different things going on here. And it's, you know, it's up in the air. Is Nocturne the Pixelbook 2 that Evan heard about? Is Atlas the Pixelbook 2 that Evan heard about? Or is Atlas the Pixelbook 2 that Evan heard about? And Nocturne is another Pixelbook that's launching this year. You know, there's a lot of questions that we have, but what we do know is that there's two boards in development that seem both very likely to be Google's and that both seem ready for takeoff, basically. Yeah. I guess another thing we can talk about this is that leaked, or not leaked, but I guess Chrome Unboxed. So we're the first to publish it, but this animation of this fingerprint sensor on the top left of the device, which it's a lot to unpack there. But, you know, Google's used generic imagery like this in the past with their Pixel phones and Android P. We actually have seen this exact same like creepy blue hand. In the stock imagery and other places. So that's another piece of evidence, since we don't know of any other devices that have that pixel or that pixel imprint, whatever it is, a fingerprint sensor on the top left of the display like that. That's another piece of evidence that maybe that's a Google thing, and maybe that's something they're planning to launch next month. Do either of you have any further thoughts on that?
The convertible to me makes so much more sense versus releasing a direct successor 1 year. Just 1 year. I just want to emphasize that. Like, what is the sell? What current Pixel book owner would rush out and buy a second one, even if it had a 4K display and thinner bezels? The existing generation is more than powerful enough, and it's still priced that way. Well, it's priced $750 now. But going back to the convertible, this promising Chrome OS and tablets, which made its big debut on the Chromebook Tab 10 by Acer, this Google has clearly put some work into making Chrome OS a better tablet operating system. And it would be a real waste if we don't see a wave of them, from not just for education, but for everybody else.
Oh yeah, I think that's definitely going to happen. I mean, I'll let Kyle speak to the bridge aspect of that and how that kind of connects to the bigger picture there.
Yeah, so it's really cool to me that Bridge is, which I'll admit I was not aware of them as a brand before this, just because I had not owned any relevant products, but from everything that I can see, Bridge is a premium keyboard maker. Like, they don't make something unless their product is premium and the device they're making it for is premium. So not only are there going to be Chromebook tablets coming, there's going to be nice ones.
Yeah, and I think that's like, if there's going to be a nice one and if there's going to be a big push here, it would make sense that Google is leading the charge. Like Bridge, for instance, they're most notorious, for those who don't know, for making keyboards for iPads. And so, I mean, it's very, there's kind of a, I don't know, it's kind of an interesting kind of two-way partnership kind of. I mean, Apple's not really dependent on Bridge to make accessories. But, you know, Bridge is definitely capitalizing on the fact that there are a crap ton of like $500 and up buyers who are out there buying iPads at that price point and would have no problem pitching another $100 to get a really, really nice keyboard for it. And so that's their market. That's what they do. They make expensive keyboards for premium level products by big brand names. I mean, Apple is the big one. And so I can't see. I mean, even like look at the like the Samsung Chromebook X2, which is the other detachable. You know, that's a sorry, HP. You know, that's also, you know, it could theoretically be compatible with a Bridge keyboard. But is Bridge going to invest all the R&D and all of whatever to like make a keyboard for Chromebook X2 buyers? Is that what Bridge is going to do? Or are they going to see a really big opportunity here with Google and all of its marketing muscle, which we have to admit has been very greater than average for the last couple of years? They're going to take advantage of that, not to mention the Made for Google program, which is a program specifically made for cases exactly like this. So I think in more ways than maybe people realize, this Bridge thing, as crazy it is that one literal word that we found in Chromium, the Chromium source, you know, like as crazy as it is that there was just one word that told us this, it seems like pretty surefire evidence that Google is inevitably very soon going to launch a $500 plus premium level convertible Chrome OS tablet. Which is it's big news. I mean, it's really crazy that we could learn so much from so little. But I think if you follow the logic, it makes total sense. Not to mention all the evidence we have for Nocturne. And I guess that's one more thing. Yet another thing. You know, there's nothing surefire. Oh, Nocturne has the same screen resolution as the Pixelbook. That definitely means it's made by Google. You don't have that, but we've got all these little things, and Bridge is just another thing that really makes us think that Nocturne is made by Google. $599, $699. What do you guys think? Well, we can talk about pricing. Where do you think these products are going to land?
Well, just a little aside. There's some extra things going on with Bridge. I haven't mentioned it in any posts or anything, but they're hiding that now. They changed that commit to no longer say Bridge, but to have a new code word, Wallaby. So keeping an eye out for that code name to see if maybe something else shakes loose from that.
Hey, don't give it away. Don't. so that's even more interesting is that usually, you know, those who are in our industry know, usually if we discover something that's actually meaningful and could affect the stock price of a company, usually that's when, you know, evidence gets erased overnight. Right. That's pretty significant. Anything else on that I'm not thinking about? Any thoughts on this, Abner, that come to
your mind? So the Made by Google plan is obviously a premium one, and any such products, any such convertible, you mentioned like a 500 and above price point. I'm just trying to think about the audience for this. So the Pixel phones compete with the iPhone directly. So is these convertible tablets the first real competition that Apple's going to have with the iPads and to a lesser degree the Microsoft services?
I think yes. I mean, it depends. It depends on what direction Google takes with these. To me, it seems like Google's MO for the last 3 years has been make high quality competing products that, whether or not they make a huge dent in the market share today, set the groundwork for the next 5 years or 10 years to be competitive to Microsoft and Apple in the long run.
I don't know though. Like, it seems to me that Nocturne is gonna really shake up the dynamic with it, because it's not just a tablet and it's not just a notebook. You know, it's a laptop that can run Android apps. It's a tablet that can run full Linux apps. It's honestly my dream come true. Like, if I wanted to develop or code on the go, but still have all of my Android apps all on one device, it's honestly the best all-in-one I've ever seen.
It's kind of like imagine when the Surface first launched, if Microsoft had had an extensive app ecosystem.
Yeah, that's the promise of that.
Like, that device was so exciting in so many ways. The hardware was excellent. Like, you know, there was the stuff with the RT models being crippled or whatever, you know, couldn't run, you know, Win32 applications or whatever. But you know, that's been since resolved. And at the time, yeah, more or less that's since been resolved. You know, at the time, it would have been really, really exciting if Apple or Microsoft could have come out the gate with, yeah, we have this whole backing of this entire app ecosystem. But unfortunately, that didn't exist and still doesn't.
Nope. So, yeah, with that said, with that argument said, I agree it's going to be on the premium front. But I think like the real place Chrome OS tablets are going to shine is that low-end market by taking the exact model that Chromebooks took in being $200 to $150 now. While the premium hardware is exciting, it's very exciting. I'm even more excited by how Chromebook tablets, when they're fully finished, when they're not just being for education customers, beta tested with education customers, it almost seems like. But I'm this low end is really
beta tested with Steven.
Dropped with Steven as well, I might add, on the floor. Yes,
I did. I dropped it in this room on Alphabet Scoop and it survived. So approved. Classroom approved.
So yeah, I'm very interested to see what happens with the iPad, with that $329 iPad, when Google starts undercutting with cheap devices that are really good and run something as simple and reliable and familiar as Chrome OS plus Android. I think that's where the game changer is going to happen, if it happens.
Yeah, I agree with you. It also, you just reminded me that, like, I remember there being a couple year period and probably still ongoing where Android tablets were just absolute trash and there were hundreds of them on the market. Mm-hmm. I wonder if this could be a solution to that. You know, stop making trash Android tablets and start making halfway decent Chrome tabs.
Absolutely.
Or Chrome.
Absolutely.
Chrome.
It needs a better name. We can all agree on that. Needs it's a better an official name.
That's an official name on a developer page. The Chromebook X2 is called a Chromeblet.
Okay, so talking about this from a perspective, what's going to happen on October 9th, though? What I'm envisioning, and a lot of times what I project onto Google is not always accurate with what they actually do, but what I'm projecting onto them based on what we know as of today is I'm imagining some kind of competitor to the Chromebook, the HP Chromebook X2 for Nocturne, and then and tell me if you guys disagree with this or think I'm wrong or whatever, but like I'm thinking like $599, maybe $699 with, you know, storage tiers on that one. And then I'm thinking like identical pricing for Atlas. And I'm suspecting that Atlas is a Pixelbook 2 proper. And it's basically a Pixelbook for all intents and purposes with a better screen. At least that's how consumers will perceive it. And that one I would guess would be, you know, like identically priced to the current Pixelbook. I don't know. Is that how you guys kind of like see it right now? Is that your guesses or what do you think, Kyle?
Yeah, that's about right. I mean, I can't say for sure on pricing, but I do know that Atlas, whatever it is, made by Google or not, needs to be competitive with the Lenovo Yoga Chromebook, because that looks like an amazing piece of machinery, and Google's really got their work cut out for them competing with it.
Yeah, I haven't been following that super closely, but it's $599, correct?
That sounds
or starts
right.
At $599. And spec for spec, it seems to be pretty in line with what we've seen from Atlas. And you made that point to me earlier that if you saw Atlas at $999, just like the original Pixelbook, it would have a tough time. And I guess my counter to that is last year's Pixelbook should not have been priced at $999, at least based on, I mean, there are plenty of devices, competitive devices with the same specs or better that were half the price at that time. Maybe not half the price. That may be exaggerating a little bit, but Or maybe it's not. I haven't looked into it. But, you know, what I'm saying is Google is pricing their products, generally speaking, kind of in an Apple-esque way. And there's I mean, in my opinion, there's some good reason for that. I mean, one thing is you get really good warranties. You get really good support. Controversial, but I will argue that lately, the last couple of years, Google support's been awesome. You know, you get generally, I think the Pixelbook has a nicer and more premium build than pretty much anything else in Chrome OS, at least at the time of launch. So I think for a lot of reasons, I could easily see Atlas, even if it is spec for spec, similar to the Yoga Book, being $999, just like the first Pixelbook.
Absolutely. They're not going to price it down. The apps, I really do not think they're going to go under 1,000. The starting config is probably $999. There's probably going to be models going up to $1,699.
Right.
But to talk about Nocturne and how much that is priced, I wouldn't be surprised if it was more expensive than we thought after you factor in like the keyboard accessory, if it's included or if it's optional. Mm. However that goes, I can see like a $750 as like with everything included. And look at the Pixelbook pen. If anything, that Pixelbook pen should have been included in the box with the first Pixelbook. It still doesn't do that much. It's not worth $100, but with Google's MO, they don't mind charging a premium even on accessories. So yeah, I could very well see if you want to get everything, to get the best specs, to get the top specs, if you end up at $1,000 for Nocturne.
Yeah, I think too, another thing that's interesting about Nocturne, that part of why I'm kind of like leaning on the like lower end. It's crazy to say that $599 or $500 is on the lower end, but the reason I'm leaning that direction with it is because I think that the sub headline on this device will be that Google's getting back into tablets.
Yeah.
For the first time since the Pixel C. And you know, there's no tablets on the Google store. They've largely stopped promoting Android tablets. I mean, there are no Android tablets on the 300 plus except for the Galaxy Tab. You know, there's tons of Android tablets at Chili's when you check out at the table, but you know, there's no Android tablets for consumers at this in these pricing levels. So I think that's going to be a big headline, is that I think this device will be partly angled as an iPad competitor.
Yes, absolutely.
If not entirely angled that way. And so it's, I think that's why they might have to start lower. You know, it might be like $499, but the keyboard is $129, like you said, you know, or $599 with, you know, like $699 with the keyboard, $129, something like that. I don't know. We'll see. Okay. I think one thing I just wanted to mention, though. Sorry, go ahead. What was it? What did you guys have?
I was just going to say, like, I hadn't thought about until now until you said it just now, the idea of the keyboard selling separately, which would actually make sense when you combine that with the fact that Bridge is selling a keyboard. So perhaps Bridge would be making that keyboard for Nocturne, and the keyboard might not be in the box by default. So maybe you could spend $75 and get the default Whiskers codenamed tablet, or you can spend $125 or something similar to that and get a Bridge keyboard. I hadn't really thought about it until
then. And there's also opportunity for there to be bundles too, you know. For instance, a Nocturne with the keyboard from Google with a Pixelbook pen for $899 or something.
Yeah. Question for the both of you. Is the Pixelbook as it is today a consumer device?
I think so. I mean, I think it's a hopeful consumer device. I don't know. I mean, I think it's probably, I mean, kind of like the Pixel phones. I think the Pixel phones are consumer devices, but they're kind of failing at it in the sense of they're kind of failing at selling units.
Think I agree it's a consumer phone, but by the default that it's a phone and everybody has a smartphone. I don't think that necessarily applies to the Pixelbook. The way Google has advertised it, it is as a consumer device. It is being advertised as a consumer device.
I mean, I think they're angling it straight up as a MacBook competitor.
And absolutely.
That agreed. Might not make sense to some. I think that's straight up what they're doing.
Yeah. Sorry, go ahead.
It didn't make sense as a consumer device day one. Like, if you look at the YouTube reviews, our review, like, I'm going to pull it up. I want to pull it up because, like, Steven's headline for the Pixelbook review was just hilarious.
I think it was Ben.
Was it? I remember it being Steve. I just looked.
Right, I might have done, like a follow-up piece or something, but.
Yeah, it was so funny to me. The just it's the best Chromebook that nobody's going to buy or something like that. It didn't make sense.
Yeah, and it's largely rung true. But yeah. I also think that I know this is an unpopular opinion, but I also think that narrative of just being a Chromebook, even last year, is not as relevant to people, or is not as relevant of an argument anymore because of how much the average consumer does so much of their computing on the web now. Unless you're an artist, you know, that needs Photoshop or an Adobe application of some kind, or unless you're a creator that needs, Premiere Pro or iMovie or something like that.
Agreed. Absolutely.
You can largely live, even as of last year, before Linux, before Android apps were as stable as they are. Even then, I think you could make the argument for the $999 Pixelbook. I know that's an unpopular opinion, but that's where I stand. Knowing my family and knowing my extended family, they could all live on Pixelbooks and be fine. Even as of last year.
Sure.
It's becoming even less of an argument because of
it's gotten all these features. But that being said, the trend we've seen from IFA is these more premium $600 Chromebooks. You mentioned the Lenovo Yoga Chromebook. If you are getting good Chromebooks at $600 with metal chassis, with good build quality, it's the same argument as the Mac, really. Why would you suggest somebody buy the Pixelbook when you have these $600 devices? Again, we're talking about, we're looking at the address. I think the Nocturne and the idea of Chromebook tablets is a separate thing. But again, going back to the idea of why the Pixelbook 2 exists, what in light of these good $600 devices, it's harder. I think it's harder to see a Pixelbook as a consumer device and to see who Google is really targeting for these things.
Well, I think their argument is that it's especially with Android apps being now kind of stable and mainstream and working well. And on top of that, Linux support now and is baked in. And then the other layer of this is that they very well could make it a note, maybe not in the marketing, but make a note of the fact that you can dual boot Windows if you want. That's another aspect that definitely could change with Atlas. You know, it's like a lot of people people like us who are like, I couldn't live with this thing as just because it's just a Chromebook. Because I'm a creator, I need Premiere Pro, I need an IDE, whatever, you know, that I can't get. The fact that they know, because we know, they would know that it can dual boot Windows, and that might sell them on the hardware. And Google makes, I have to say, Google makes really nice hardware up there. I think it's up there with the MacBook, and a lot of people are complaining. About the MacBook support situation, about the MacBook keyboard. There's lots of criticisms to be had on the latest generations of MacBooks. And Google and Microsoft, I mean, I think are the only ones that can really compete in terms of the quality of the build. And I guess the premium materials and stuff like that. So I think that could, between all those arguments, I think you could really sell someone on an Atlas for $999.
But it's the beauty of Chrome OS is that all these devices will get those premium features, will get Windows dual booting, will Linux apps will be on every single mostly premium Chromebook. It's hard to see with the with the Pixel 2, Google has customized the Android experience to be its own flavor, its own optimizations, its own features. They can sell that. They can, to the enthusiasts, they can sell this extra added level of polish. I'm not sure if Chrome OS is at a point where you can do something a bit extra with the software and not expect every other Chromebook to have it a few months or at least a year later.
Yeah, I mean, that's definitely something that Google's having to do. They're having to figure out how to differentiate themselves from the Yoga Book, for instance. You know, like there's lots of things they're doing. I mean, with the Pixel Book, it was all about the Pixel Book pen, and it was all about, you know, the levels of sensitivity in the thing. And it was all about being able to hold the button to do Google searches. You know, there's a, I think we're going to see even more of that this year of things that are not make or break for most people, but they are enough to make people look at Google and see the value. I mean, I think things have definitely changed since the days of the Pixel, the Chromebook Pixel, where they weren't adding anything. It was literally like, this is just plain Chrome OS, and it's just running on way overpowered hardware for no other reason than it's cool. And
that LTE was pretty sweet, though. 200
those things were basically made. Those things were basically made for Googlers.
Yes.
And you know, they did some futuristic, so to speak, things. Well, like they did. They did USB-C really, really early before that was mainstream.
Yep.
2015. So, and they did the color bar. You know, there's it was a cool product. But things have changed, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Atlas, that seems to be the cap on Atlas. Any final thoughts on Nocturne?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm personally, I want to review Nocturne. I'm much more excited for Nocturne than Atlas. If assuming we get both, I hope we do. We don't have any solid sources on that other than just bits of evidence. But I hope we get two, and I hope I get to review Nocturne because I really want. a really nice premium Chrome OS tablet. I want a good version of this, basically.
Yeah. Would you use it for work? What would you be using it for? Because I'm personally on the lookout for a tablet and can't wait for Chrome OS.
Oh, another thing, side note, I really hope there's an LTE version of Nocturne. No evidence for that, but
oh,
that
the would be Phi, really cool. The
E6. No evidence for that at all, but that's what I want. I want to be able to walk around the neighborhood and edit your posts on my
thing. The eSIMs.
That's coming. I don't know how many models that's coming to, but right now it's only in progress for this one. I mentioned the idea of it in the mouth post, but it's on this one reference board for called Cheza. Some people.
Oh, Snapdragon.
Yeah, Snapdragon. Exactly. It's coming to that Snapdragon model, that Cheza Snapdragon model, which doesn't surprise me in the slightest. I mean, of course, it's also interesting that Cheza is based on the same platform as the Pixel 3. It's on the Snapdragon 845.
Mm. Right.
Exciting.
All right. Well, I think that gives us. I think that gives us a little bit of a segue into Meowth, which is the latest story that you did today. We just published it today. It basically is the Nocturne that didn't get to exist. And why is that, Kyle?
Well, you see, Intel has had a schedule. Intel has been pretty like reliable up until about 2016, 2017. And they had been making plans with OEMs about, you know, what, you know, here's when our next generation is going to come out. Here's what it's going to look like. Google even had hardware in their hands that was going to use this new generation of Intel processors, but something happened and nobody's really saying what. So maybe like a supply chain problem, I think it was. There was some kind of problem that this generation of processors, Cannon Lake, was not going to happen.
There's an issue with fabbing. It's 10 nanometer, right? Cannon
Lake? Yeah, 10 nanometer, yeah.
Yeah, an issue with fabrication and making something so small appears to be the issue.
Yeah, they couldn't get the yield up or something. Like, they just couldn't produce them in high quantities, basically, right?
Right. They could make them and make enough of them that developers could work with reference boards, but
it's like 50% of them were coming off the line broken. Probably something. I don't know. I'm making it up. Yeah. So
Google just tried to, Google had to scramble, throw out everything they worked on and slap a new board in it. That's what happened. That's the short version.
At least that's what it looks like. It looks like that based on the very little that we can see publicly. But yeah, Meowth is like almost like spec for spec identical to Nocturne.
Even Nocturne has some better things, but that's just because it's further along in development. Like the cameras, we had no details whatsoever about the cameras on Meowth, but we know. We didn't even talk about that actually. Nocturne having those dual cameras, which is new to the Pixel line anyway.
Yes. It's something.
Yeah. The thing was, wait, hold up. Maybe this is news to me. We know that Nocturne has a dual camera setup.
Yes. Yeah. That was in the post.
On the same side.
Front and
okay.
rear.
Okay. Okay. Gotcha. That makes sense. And it's the same sensor as the Pixel 3, we said?
Pixel 2, maybe?
Pixel 2.
I'd have to open it again. I don't have my notes.
All right. No big deal. Yeah.
Sony sensor, regardless. It's a Sony sensor.
Right.
Yeah, two right. Sony sensors on it.
That was another tiny piece of evidence that like pointed at that being Google's. Another thing with Meowth, I forgot what it was. I forget, but anyways, Meowth, for those, the TLD on Meowth is that it seems to be basically identical to Nocturne. I wanted to mention how the weird timing with Meowth and how that like lined up, how when Nocturne was, it when Nocturne showed up and Intel announcing the delay, was what was the timing thing there that was like
it was like 3 weeks or less, like between the public announcement,
right,
and then and 3 weeks before that, that's when Nocturne first showed up in the repos. So I would assume that Intel probably told their partners, their manufacturing partners, that
earlier, maybe a month or two earlier, if not more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which just tells me, like, man, that I don't envy the position of Google employees, because somebody had to sit on that information for 3 weeks and not leak it for insider trading reasons, you know?
Yeah. Oh yeah, for sure.
They don't need the money anymore.
Yeah.
Another thing, just to quickly touch on, another thing, we actually saw a video of Nocturne pop up, or we think it's Nocturne, but there's a video. I don't know, if maybe one day we'll get good enough at Hangouts to where I can show these videos on screen. But so there's a leaked video that shows, it's like 5 seconds. I think they were demoing some kind of issue with the bottom bar in Chrome OS. What's that bar called?
Shelf.
The shelf.
Yeah. So they were demoing some problem with the shelf or something. And, there we can very clearly see some kind of tablet-esque device with what looks to be an attached keyboard. Interestingly, so I don't know, like this keyboard that we can see in the video, it doesn't look to me like, I mean, it doesn't look visually like the Pixelbook keyboard, for instance.
It looks like Apple's smart case. It looks rubbery almost.
It also looks like, I have one right here. It looks like some of the designs that Logitech uses. This is one of my Logitech keyboards.
Yep. Yeah. The rounded. Yeah. Absolutely. 100%.
So it has rounded keys, and then these kind of pill shaped ones at the top. I guess pill shaped things on a Google hardware product would not be surprising.
No.
At the event. But to me, it looks kind of Logitech esque. But I did look very closely. Like, I actually looked at the volume, like the design of the buttons or the design of the keys. And they don't line up with this Logitech keyboard. So the design sort of looks like this Logitech keyboard, but the design of the actual, like the writing on the keys itself, it doesn't line up with this one at least. What's up, Abner?
No, nothing.
Oh, okay. That was just one little thing. To me, it looks like, I think the assumption, what the we, I guess we didn't know, where did this, so like, Was this on something that was connected to Nern or connected to Atlas? Was it directly connected to either of them in some way?
More so what it was that we didn't know for sure that it was Nocturne, but the speculation was going around that it was Nocturne or Atlas, and we were able to debunk at least that it was not Atlas. Affirmatively not Atlas. Like, sure, you can't really tell in there that it's whether or not it's detachable, but one thing we did know for sure is that Atlas is not going to have that hamburger key, as you would call it, the three lines menu key.
Right. And then, I guess the other thing is we knew that Atlas is not detachable as well. And this one, even though the video is very limited, it looks to be a detachable keyboard, at least.
Mm. Looks to be, but we can't be too sure.
Yeah. Any other final notes, Abner, Kyle, on any of this stuff?
I have a question to throw out. It's why does Meowth need a 10 nanometer chip?
I don't think it was a matter of need. It was, I mean, maybe Kyle has a better answer than me, but it was just that Google was a little bit risk. Maybe.
They just wanted to use the latest that Intel had to offer. That's all I can figure.
Yeah, and Intel was saying at the time that, I mean, Intel said that Cannon Lake was going to launch 2017, so it should have been very ready for a fall 2018 launch. And obviously, Google would benefit from launching a product with the latest generation of chips. Yeah. So.
At this point with chips, I'm just very curious what Intel's newer chips will allow. We can see what Snapdragon 850 on Windows does, all-day battery life at LTE. So I am curious what Intel is bringing to the table as we move forward.
Well, we won't know until it's actually real.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
So TLDR, two Chromebooks we think exist, we think might get launched on October 9th. We're guessing $599 for Nocturne Convertible, $999 for Pixelbook 2 Atlas. We don't really know, but that's what we think. I guess in other Chromium commit news, Kyle found the first public name drop of another thing that Google's working on, which is a game streaming service, which we first heard about in February, called Yeti. So
Is a cloud streaming gaming service that, according to the information, at one point ran on the Chromecast. It's everything is run in Google servers, and the real advantage, the real technological improvement, would be being able to cut down latency. So many companies are doing this now, is Microsoft, and I think PlayStation, and of course Nvidia, GeForce. And
there's one more. I lost it. Go ahead.
Yeah. But yeah, so this Steam, yes, definitely Steam. So this Yeti service could, in theory, imagine being able to buy a $35 Chromecast S device, hooking up to your TV and playing AAA titles over the web instantly without having to wait to download gigs of files.
So we hope AAA titles. The first thing that came to mind to me yesterday when I was writing about it was the did you ever see the Roku 2, which was supposed to work as a gaming thing too? So you turned the remote sideways.
Yeah. And it was Angry Birds. You got Angry Birds. That's what everybody got.
Yeah. That was what came to mind to me. I was like, man, I hope it doesn't suck like that.
Or even Ouya. The Ouya had a crappy shooting game or something.
I don't even remember.
Default shooter. But yeah. So, but to answer that, the rumors from early this year, I think Kotaku, they heard around the Game Developers Conference in March that Google was they were talking to the major game studios or they would just buy one outright to make first-party content. So with Yeti, Google is hiring so many people from the likes of PlayStation and Xbox. They're hiring these top executives and these top gamer developers from game studios. So there is appears to be something, but I just caution that gaming, Google has been chasing gaming for ages and ages. Stephen and I joked on Twitter that Google Plus had games, but that honestly reflects Google's gaming ambition for years and years. First to compete with the scourge of Facebook gaming's tiny, like, worst friends, but they've kept it up. And from what it seems, this approach is trying to be a bit more complex. It's trying to get real games like RPGs and shooters versus like fun things that you can just play on your phone. So,
yeah, not to mention games, Google Play Games, which was first introduced. It was first introduced to take on Game Center. Remember Game Center? Rip Apple Game Center. Was it Game Center?
Yeah, I think it was Game Center.
But anyways, that's probably everyone's least used app on their Android phone.
Yeah, I am so annoyed every time I play a game, like a puzzle game, and like the Google Play like logo shows up and says like, you're signed in.
I don't mind it unless I change devices and they didn't use the cloud save feature. If you didn't use the cloud save feature, I am mad at you. You know who you are.
But I think one thing we have to talk about with this is the potential connection to another weird thing that happened in the last few months, which was that a new Chromecast went through the FCC.
Yes.
So in the original report, there was talk that some version of Yeti was running on, built on, or built to work with the Chromecast platform. Mm-hmm. And seemingly unrelated, or at least we haven't made this connection yet, was that Google passed, or a new Chromecast passed through the FCC, which, based on the FCC filing, looks to be identical to the current Chromecast. We don't know that for sure, I don't think, but it looks to be identical to the current Chromecast, but with improved Bluetooth, or with added Bluetooth, I should say, and improved Wi-Fi. And that's kind of been a big question mark of like, what is Google launching there? Like, why would they? I mean, it passed through the FCC around the same time as the Pixel 3 and 3 XL, which we know Google's launching next month. You know, it seems like it was, the timing seemed to suggest
longer even. It was Google I/O. We thought there was going to be something happening at I/O about
that. Oh yeah, that's right.
Perfect time for gaming and developers.
Absolutely. And so nothing happened then. So it seems like maybe Google's going to announce something at the October 9th event. But the question was, what could that be? Why does this Chromecast matter and what is it? And I guess one potential answer to that is that Yeti is entirely a cloud-based system that somehow has really low latency, because Google is just, they're just wizards with, you know, cloud technologies. And somehow they're going to run this entire platform on Chromecast, which would be insane, because that means there are potentially Chromecast-enabled Android TVs and other devices out there that might be able to run it from day one. So, I mean, that's just, I mean, even if you think about it, I mean, if it's entirely streamed, even the Nexus player has Wi-Fi and Bluetooth. Even the Nexus player could be Yeti compatible, theoretically.
It's so ambitious. It's such an ambitious idea. If it
works. Was it Kotaku source that described it as like AAA title in the Chrome browser or something? Like, that's how they described the technology.
And our source to us named a popular game that has that's running on Yeti.
They named two popular AAA titles. One of them they said is not running on Yeti, or they haven't gotten it running. And another one they said is running on Yeti. And I will assure you, they're both top tier. We're not going to name them to protect that identity.
It's like open world games there.
Yeah.
Open world games.
Very, very popular open world games that
you can do a lot in
Xbox and PlayStation 4. And
So, yeah, this is from Google. This gaming is their white whale almost, because the information in February reported that Yeti was supposed to launch all the Christmas, the holiday season last year,
Yeah.
It's this, they've been chasing this for a long time. And
that's actually interesting. Sorry to interrupt you, but that's actually interesting considering this mention in the Chromium source is new. And it's, one thing that signals is that Yeti is still alive, because I don't think that this Googler would refer to the Yeti folk unless the Yeti folk still did still active. If this had been disbanded, there would be no Yeti folk to reference. And then the other thing is that they were specifically talking about the kind of, I guess, the delay or the, what do you call it? The audio video lag. And so apparently that's, a relevant issue. I mean, obviously, if Yeti is what we think it might be, which is everything is streamed, for instance, the UI for choosing a game is streamed and the games themselves are streamed. If everything is streamed somehow by some crazy technology, then the lag is definitely like the number one concern. And so it's not surprising to see that connected to this.
I just can't imagine how they could get that down, because, like, you know, sure, audio video lag from streaming a video, a live streaming a video, I understand that, but input lag, like if we're talking about Bluetooth, like
right, like that's the crazy thing.
Bluetooth,
there are physical limitations.
There's a Bluetooth delay from here to the Chromecast or whatever it is that Yeti's running on. And then there's it processes that, sends it to a server. The server responds to it, puts in the input, and then sends that back.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, so it's possible. I mean, OnLive did it like 5 years ago.
True.
And failed. And so, I mean, and that was 5 years ago. And I don't know how things have changed with the physical limitations of things like Bluetooth connections. But if they were able to accomplish that with, I think, part of the reason it failed was because of the lag, I think. I mean, it was not an excellent experience and it couldn't compete with, standalone hardware. So, who knows? Who knows what they've come up with and who knows how things have changed over the last 5 years? Maybe, I don't know, maybe Bluetooth 4.0 makes that lag better. Maybe, I mean, Wi-Fi connections have improved. I mean,
true.
Internet connections in general, internet speeds in general have improved over the last 5 years. Getting gigabit connections, for instance, is much more accessible than it used to be. So maybe Yeti will have very stringent requirements, but as long as you're within those requirements, it works great. Who knows? So there's a lot of question marks with Yeti. Any of you have any further thoughts on that before we move on? It's crazy, and I hope that we see it. I don't know.
Just a question, like, why does a Chromecast need Bluetooth at all?
The answer to that is for a controller.
Exactly.
Or just generic controller. Like, I really do not like controlling stuff on my TV with the cast notification, for example.
Yeah.
Like $20 like Bluetooth simple remote that Google sells. That'd be kind of nice, honestly.
Yeah, that seems more likely to me what we might see in October. Like,
just
a Chromecast with a remote.
Yeah, I don't think Yeti's ready, because from all these reports, Google's still talking to developers as of like May or April. That's one heck of a turnaround.
Yeah, I think content is going to be their big bottleneck. I think that the launch is going to be filled with, if it launches next month, it's going to be filled with a lot of Angry Birds.
And like one or two big titles.
Maybe 10.
Maybe 10.
Maybe 5 that are launching on launch day and 5 that are launching before the end of the year. I don't know.
Yeah.
The other thing that comes up is, what would the pricing look like? Would this be a $10 a month subscription service?
Yes. Paying for this is,
working out those deals, especially with these big AAA publishers that already have very significant and consistent revenue streams. With Steam and with obviously selling physical copies of their games, especially with Google and its reputation of not exactly dedicating itself to things for the long term, to put it kindly. I think it's going to be a hard sell for them to make those partnerships that Kotaku was reporting on. And I think that's why Kotaku said one of the things they're considering is just making all their own games, because they might have to.
Yeah, I just want to add, like, the idea of like having like AAA titles. Look at the Nintendo Switch. Yes, Nintendo has so much famous IP, but be indie, make an indie platform that has like clever and like 8-bit games and side scrollers. I don't think from day one you're going to convert real gamers, because it's a whole network and platform. But the idea of like converting average smart users who've only known gaming on a smartphone and tempting them with the idea of a bigger screen, of more immersive games, that's something. There's something there.
There's a whole generation of casual gamers that have never touched
Xbox. I got the answer to it.
You know, like, these are people that only play games on their phones and on their Switch, and that's...
And you know, Apple has tried.
What were you going to say,
Kyle? I was just going to say, there's to it. The answer to it is Fortnite. That's all they need. If they get...
Fortnite on your TV with Chromecast. I could see Fortnite being in... I mean, that makes total sense.
On Google streaming service, Fortnite on the Google-owned streaming service, after everything.
Yeah. And not to mention Fortnite... I forgot about that.
Yep.
Maybe there was... I don't know. Who knows? Maybe they were in conversation with them about that, and that fell through. Who knows? That would be an interesting story to dig into.
Story,
that would be crazy if there's a crazy story there. But that would make sense, though, if a game like Fortnite would be the perfect thing to debut this. On top of that, what are the developers of Fortnite?
Epic Games.
They've seemed very happy to get their game on every single platform possible.
That is true. So. It's on the Switch, crying out loud.
Yeah.
If you think about it, it's not too far off for Epic to do it, because I remember like 4 years ago, they got the honest-to-goodness Unreal Engine running inside of Firefox. So they have all kinds of options out there that they can do.
Crazy. Anything else on this before we move on to our final topic for about 5 minutes before we round this out? We're definitely over for the week, but I suspect we'll be over for the next few weeks leading up to this event. Finally, this week we had a couple of Pixel 3 teasers. So we've been talking about the Pixel 3 forever, but yesterday, Google has put up some of the first teasers. We already talked a lot last week about just the rumors and the nonsense and the conspiracy theories that suggest that Google is doing a notchless Pixel 3, which I have to put on the record that I'm not opposed to that in terms of, you know, I don't, I'm not, I'm not opposed to it existing. I would be happy to exist. That would be one thing. Another thing is, if a shred of evidence shows up, I will be happy to report it. I think that's kind of a common misconception, is that I'm just anti. I think I know better than everyone, and that I'm sitting up in my ivory tower and telling other people that they're crazy. But I think rather what I'm saying is, there's no evidence for it. And if evidence popped up tonight, I would gladly report on it, and I'd be glad to see it. Because I would love for Google to surprise us as well. But the last couple teasers, or at least today's teaser, are not going to really do anything to hush to quiet the Pixel 3 conspiracies. I guess the other thing is, today's teardown of the Google app is also not going to do anything to quiet the conspiracies. Abner, you can tell us about the Japanese teaser. I mean,
colors. We got a hint at what the colors could be. So we might be looking at a tree color scenario based on this interactive Google Japan site that when you tap on it, in the middle of the website, there's a frame, a rectangular frame, which is the back of the Pixel 3. And then when you tap on it, it switches colors. One is a black, one is white with a like a mint power button. That's probably the hint it's suggesting. And the last one is a total mint phone with a mint glass shade, a mint bottom, and probably even a mint power button. So that could be the colorful variant for the year.
Yeah, and the device seems to very clearly be the back of the device. Although, honestly, when I first saw this, like I woke up at like 8 a.m. this morning, and the first thing I saw was this thing in my tips in like a Twitter DM, and I clicked on it, and I was like, that's like my first initial reaction was like, oh, wow, this is the first evidence that there's a bezel-less phone, because it just seems so striking to me.
Then you scroll down and see the
Google. And then I looked at it. I looked at it for about 5 more seconds, and I was like, oh, okay, it's just the back of the phone.
Yeah.
Because it is a really cool design. I mean, it's very, I mean, this is, I mean, the yesterday's teaser on the Google store. So I don't know how, but someone found this page on the Google store. I have not found a single public reference or link to it. So someone managed to guess the URL, I guess. But the that page was very boring. It was literally just a 3. And lets you sign up. And then this thing, this Japanese coming soon page, it's a trip.
Yeah.
And like you said, it really, I think these might be hints of the colors. One thing though to note on that is that the Pixel 3 and the Pixel 3 XL probably have different color lineups. So yes, for all we know, the mint could be the smaller Pixel 3. As I've mentioned on the show before, I've heard there's a red one, a red XL. So what I'm hoping and guessing right now is that there will be black, white, and mint on the small, and black, white, and coral on the large. I have nothing but one secondhand source to base that on, but that's my hope. Yeah, I think, I mean, there's way more that happened this week, and we could talk about.
Yeah, it.
We could probably go for another hour.
Processes.
Yeah, Qualcomm and Wear OS. That was just, I mean,
killed by the Apple Watch. Say your Pixel Watch.
Apple event. My Pixel Watch theory.
Yeah.
I mean, my Pixel Watch theory is that the Pixel Watch was at one point planned to launch this year, and Google realized at some point that launching it would be very embarrassing. And decided not to do that. And I mean, I've said many times that it would be yet another attempt at, you know, breaking into smartwatches. By that, I mean, someone called me out in the comment section on the 9to5 Google. Appreciate your comments. It's awesome. Someone called me out and said, what do you mean? This would be their very first attempt. And I'm like, my response to that is, yes, if they did launch it, it would technically be Google's first hardware attempt. But Google as a company is taking on Apple in a different way than most other companies would take on Apple in terms of taking on the Apple Watch. And that's not necessarily straight with hardware. Android Wear has been around for like 5 years, and Google is very much part of pushing Android Wear on its partner devices, as we saw with the LG Watch Sport and the LG Watch Style. Very partner devices to the point where they put it on the box. Like this, they put it on the box of like, this was made with Google. And so my point with that was Google has really tried to push Android Wear. And the problem is there's too many pieces that have not, like all the stars have not aligned, so to speak. You know, Qualcomm has to invest and has to make really killer processors. Google has to really care about software, which in Android Wear, it's definitely felt like the runt of the litter for the last few years. Yep. It has not been their top priority, probably because they don't have a great processor. It's
chicken and the egg problem.
Yeah, it's chicken and the egg, positive feedback loop, so to speak, of like Qualcomm makes crap processors, watches suck, watches don't sell, Apple or Google doesn't invest in Wear OS because watches don't sell. Qualcomm doesn't invest in good innovation in terms of smartwatch processors because watches don't sell. And so there's lots of pieces that have to come together, and it may work or it may have worked with phones 10 years ago, but it does not seem to be working at all with watches in 2018.
Yep.
And Apple, on the other hand, has become the premier wearable company. Apple is the wearable company now. They are the best at wearables. I'm wearing them right now. These are awesome. The Apple Watch is awesome. and Google just can't compete. Yeah, me too. I want an Apple Watch.
I haven't owned an Apple device since my iPod Nano.
Ooh, which one?
It was like, it was the third gen, I think, video.
Same. Yeah.
That was my last one. Like, and my dad was always like, how are you watching videos the size of a postage stamp? Anyway, I haven't owned an Apple thing since then, but I want that Apple Watch Series 4. It looks really good, but I have nothing I could use it with.
I just want to add the Pixel Watch. I think if they did launch this year, the angle they should have taken, especially with what Qualcomm announced in the Snapdragon Wear 3100, is the always-on display and like a week's worth of battery life just showing you the time. I think I'm on the boat that they could have done something with the Pixel Watch and that their marketing strategy should totally have been it's always on. It's a traditional watch. So that's my two cents. They could have been something.
Yeah, they could have. And I guess you could argue that they kind of, I mean, for instance, phone was not a looker, you know, like it was not super modern. And but it was nice to see Google come out with a high quality product that may not be perfect or may not be super stunning. Same can go for the original Pixelbook. That's part of why I think Pixelbook was delayed a year. But, you know, the Pixelbook was, you know, it's not super stunning, but it's a high quality device. It's reliable. It's built on really good software, and it's a first step. And Google still—it's still early. It's still early days. Google hardware
took a different direction, though, because the Pixelbook came out as a luxury Chromebook device when there wasn't a market for luxury Chromebooks, and then the software caught up.
Yeah, but I think the groundwork was already being laid with the software before, and you're right. The software since the original Pixelbook has definitely caught up. I don't know. I think on the watch side of things, you're right. It would have been Abner. You're right. It would have been okay for Apple or Google to introduce something this year, and you know, maybe next year take another stab at it. But apparently that's not what they decided to do. Google's reason was because they haven't figured out the intersection of doing a fashion device and a workout or a health device or something. That was basically their reasoning, which is weird reasoning, but I guess that is basically what the Apple Watch has done. They've definitely been able to put together perfectly something that is fashionable because it's an Apple product. Every Apple product is a sex object, so to speak. you know, that is basically how they're marketed and sold. So they're obviously attractive and fashionable in that regard. And the health side of things, ECG, like they're so far ahead. You know, the fact that we can have ECG on our wrist for $500, $400 is nuts. And it's FDA approved to boot. There's the whole other, you know, you can go off on a tangent on how far ahead the Apple Watch is.
Yeah. Just to say, with Wear OS isn't even the second player in this space. It's like Fitbit or even Garmin with their.
Yeah, it's just sad. Wear OS is just sad, man. Wear OS has become, in my opinion, it's being taken advantage of by all the fashion brands that had. They all had watches, and they've all sold watches for 100 years or whatever. And they realized, oh, it's 2018. Smartwatches are a thing. We need to have something to take on Apple. We don't have any plan for the technology, and we have no idea what we're doing. But we need to have some kind of watch. And so here we are with every legacy watch brand maker just throwing a smartwatch on the market so that they can put it in their store next to their fashion products.
That's basically what
Android Wear is. It's sad.
Yeah.
I don't mind that, though. Like, it adds variety to the market. Like, there's, you know, what, 6 different, like, design options for the Apple Watch?
Sure. The variety is fine. But technologically speaking, we're 4 years behind because of it.
Terrible, yeah.
Sure. One anecdote. When you and I were in at I/O, I just want to add that every Googler wears a Garmin sports watch. Every one of them. They all use the Garmin ecosystem. And you would think they would take... So these Garmin GPS smartwatches, they have like 3 or 4 days of battery life. They do that because they have like a color it's not e-ink, but it's like a color LCD. It's like a very not colorful, not interactive display, but it gets like 4 days of battery life. And maybe they could have done that. Maybe they could have just dropped the idea of making third-party apps and just like create a good thing on the wearable. So if I cover already talking about what Wear OS could pivot to after their next major pivot.
Yeah, I think this is a controversial statement, but I am very pro Google acquiring Fitbit to partially solve this problem. It's a good way they could spend their ad dollars.
They should have bought Pebble in the first place and just continued what Pebble was doing.
Yeah, Pebble would have been great too. There's a lot of opportunities there.
That seems like a solution.
Power e-ink, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Nobody's
anything won. Else? I think we're getting really, really, we're going
into
way
into the
way
weeds. Time.
Yeah, into the weeds. What? Anything else this week before we round out this show?
You guys have...
Kyle?
It's been an honor.
All right. Well, I guess it looks like that's pretty much all we got for the week. I guess the plan is for the next few weeks. I think we have three more weeks after this before the October 9th event. The plan is we will have a show every week, primarily focusing on a product or two that we expect to see or hope to see at the event. Today was obviously Pixelbook 2's plural, and
the Chromecast accidentally.
The Chromecast, Yeti Chromecast. I guess that's the other thing. And then next week, I don't know, we'll talk about maybe Pixel Buds 2. I don't know. We'll see. But we'll try and spread this out so that going up into the event, we'll have a little bit to talk about on all these different products. Planning ought to do the last day before the event to do like a roundup of everything we know, but primarily focus on the Pixel 3 and 3 XL just in case anything leaks. Anything else leaks between now and the event, especially on the software side. For example, today we did a teardown of Google app, for instance. Not much of substance in there, but that's one of those things that's happening every Friday, basically, that could, if Google doesn't watch their steps, could reveal some software details going into the event. I think that happened going into I/O with a lot of different app teardowns. So these next few weeks of app updates are probably going to reveal some things. So that final week, we'll probably do a final roundup. Focus on the Pixel 3. And then at the event, as mentioned, we'll probably have a special episode on Tuesday. I think Tuesday's the 9th. Yep. On Tuesday after the event, me, Abner, and Kyle will, or Kyle, me, Abner, and Seth will all be on, probably, if we can find a spot to talk about everything that they announced. And we'll probably take that week off. So that just gives you a little bit of an idea of the coming weeks for Alphabet Scoop. Until then, you can tune in to Alphabet Scoop on all your favorite podcasting platforms. We're on Google Play, we're on Google Podcasts, we're on Apple and iTunes or Apple Podcasts. And we'll see you next week. This has been me, Abner, and Kyle.
Hi.
See ya.